This message entitled On Being Thankful for a Very Astonishing God was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on November 8th, 2020 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Psalm 100.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
All right, thank you. Nary a word was in there that we didn't sing earlier. What I mean by that is hardly a word, okay? Because a lot of the praise songs that we sing and other churches sing as well come right from the scriptures. I do have a little bit of a problem with some churches that say, you know, you can't do one or the other. You know, you can only do one or the other. They get praise songs and then they skip the old hymns. Where they do the old hymns and they skip the praise songs. They're not understanding that the praise songs come from the scriptures. Praise God. Now, sometimes it can get too showy, you know, and kind of strange and everything in some places, but there it is. This is right, the praise songs we sing are from right from the Word of God. I mean, generally speaking. Praise God. All right. So that was Psalm 100. And we'll get back to that in just a little bit. I want to talk about on being thankful for a very astonishing God. Now, that's where I started with this message, was the idea of astonishment. And I want to clarify that just a little bit, and I hadn't really planned on that in the sermon. But a lot of times when the word astonishment or astonishing is used in the scriptures, it can be an okay place to begin with the Lord. To be astonished at him, okay? But true Christianity, true spirituality goes far beyond just being astonished. There are a lot of people, you know, ooh, you know, what's the big word today? Awesome. You know, everything's awesome. Everything is awesome, you know? And so it's a matter of, you know, there's hymns and then there's these praise songs. But if you understand that the praise songs come from the scriptures, then there's not a big deal. There's not a big problem there. And there are some that just won't sing anything unless it's, you know, something in an old hymnal. But some people are willing to sing the others and skip all the old hymns of the faith. And they miss the point too. So people are missing the point from both angles. And I just wanted to mention that. But the other thing was this astonishment. You can begin by being astonished at God, but it needs to go further than that. But that's where I actually started with this, on being astonished about something. And so then we're going to go far beyond that in the message. So you'll see what I'm saying in just a minute here. Let's go ahead and come to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this day, for this truth, Lord, that is before us. It is certainly astonishing, but I pray, dear God, it'd take us far beyond just being astonished in our own minds, but rather we'd be submitted. We'd be submitted. There's a difference, dear God. We can stop at being astonished and get nowhere, but we need to see that our God is very astonishing, very amazing. And there's even a hymn to prove that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So, Lord, I want to bring this people on a little bit of a journey here, I guess, to see how the journey can indeed be not only exciting, but it can be astonishing. And beyond that, praise God, it takes us into the next several weeks as well. It points out to us, dear God, that the Christmas time itself can be very, very astonishing and amazing at the same time. So, Lord, I just want to thank you, dear God, for what we have before us here today on being thankful for a very astonishing God. And then, praise God, you'll take us beyond that as well. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In November of 1870, the Army Signal Service's new division of telegrams and reports for the benefit of commerce. Leave it to government to come up with one of the longest titles you could come up with for any organization. There it is. The Army Signal Service's new division of telegrams and reports for the benefit of commerce began operations as the nation's first weather service. This newly created organization made its first official meteorological forecast. And this is it. Listen carefully. High winds at Chicago and Milwaukee and along the Great Lakes. Imagine, who could have possibly guessed that the Windy City was going to be windy? Maybe that's how we discovered it was windy, is because the Weather Service told us. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, later that month, back in 1870 now, the first cautionary storm signal was issued for the Great Lakes shipping industry. And by the way, that's no joke in that, because if you've ever been up in northern Michigan, especially up in the UP, and you visit some of the various sites that are marked for the various lakers and so forth that have gone down in storms, there are many, and many of them probably still sit on the bottom of the lake bed, because, you know, they don't just pull that thing up that easily. And they're marked, and they're on maps and everything else. The Fitzgerald, and there's many. And there's a lot of lives lost in all of this. So to know what's coming up weather-wise is not a bad idea when you're dealing with the lakes, okay? Today, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, that's its little catchphrase, NOAA, N-O-A-A, operates the National Weather Service as a part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. The agency is responsible for issuing weather forecasts, advisories, watches, and warnings on a daily basis. Predictions are enhanced by NEXRAD, N-E-X-R-A-D, all in capitals, a nationwide network of Doppler radars that detect precipitation and atmospheric movement. Trained volunteers called sky-worn spotters, a catchy name, huh? The government came up with that too. Sky-worn spotters also assist in, by relaying severe weather to their local weather service offices. There's something about this in the Bible. Believe it or not, there is. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Now, you've all heard that. You all know that. Okay? And in the morning, it will be foul weather that day, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. The story is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. No one can predict when Christ is coming back. It's like I said earlier, he just said he is. And he is. And you don't have to worry about it because he hasn't shown up yet. And people do that, you know. Well, he hasn't come back yet, so I guess he's not coming back. Bible even says people are going to say that. So it's already been forecasted, so to speak, that that's what people are going to do with it. He hasn't come back yet, so he must not be coming back. No, you don't understand. No one can predict when Christ is coming back. And that's really a good thing, for we are intended to live with a sense of wonder and imminency, to have the understanding that he could be back at any time. any moment of any day. I'm talking the rapture. Second coming comes later. We have, however, been given some signs that will usher in the events of those final astonishing times. Jesus gave us an idea of what to expect in the future. During his last evening with his disciples before his death, in this world, basically, this is a paraphrase, but in this world, we will have trouble. There will be trouble in these times. We, as God's people, will be maligned. We will be misunderstood. We will be persecuted for following and serving him. But because he has overcome the world, we can be overcomers too. We don't need modern, sophisticated equipment to give us the forecast for the rest of our lives, which will undoubtedly be continuing periodic storms. That's what the Bible already says. There's going to be these things. There's going to be persecution. In fact, the Bible says the godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So you can count on it, unless, of course, you cease being godly. And don't forget, the sun, S-O-N now, the sun will keep shining. Amen? All right. Over the past several weeks, as you know, we have been focusing on what it is to have a thankful heart. Today, let's go ahead and let the Bible be a prognosticator. Okay? It's a great big word. It takes up half the line. All right, for our spirituality with regard to that attitude of gratitude. Let God say what's up. Let God say what the next step is. Let God say, you know, which direction we go and how we go and how we travel there and so forth. Like I told the kids, we've come up with lots of different ways to travel, but let's make sure we do it with Jesus in our hearts. Amen. All right. Let's go back into the Old Testament, and in particular, the book of Psalms. Of course, there are hundreds of places we could go for this, but let me just hearken back to Psalm 95 for just a minute. If you want to turn there, you might already be nearby. Okay, so Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. That's how it starts out. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before, by the way, that's a phrase of Jesus, how he is not sinking sand, he is a rock, and that's used many times throughout the Psalms, many times. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Now, I think you've probably noticed this already. We've said it before, but I mean even in the context of what we're talking about today, I'm sure you've already recognized this, that praising God is at the center of having a thankful heart. Amen? Praising God is at the center. Because if you're all focused on how horrible it is and how terrible it is and how you got a raw deal and all this stuff, you are not going to be a thankful person because you're not praising God. Amen. And I didn't say that everything has to be what most people would consider praiseworthy. You know, I mean, how many people like tragedies? How many people want to have tough times? But the fact of the matter is, if God is in control, and that's what people would say, if he's in control, no, it is, he is in control, praise God, then you can have a thankful heart, even in the midst of the hardness of life. Amen? The next couple of verses, I think, tie it all together. Look at verses 3 and 4. It's almost like a Christmas present with bows and ribbons and everything. Not only that, it's got a name tag on it. And it's got your name on it. Amen? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. In fact, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, so maybe I'll say very little at this point, but there's a lot of churches that do use these praise songs along with their hymns. There are some that don't want to use them because they got the hymns. There are some that, you know, want to do the praise songs and skip all the hymns, and they're both wrong, because these praise songs are loaded with scripture, okay? And you'll notice that some of them come right from, many of them actually, come from the Psalms themselves. Look at Psalm 100. That's our text. So turn to 100, okay, Psalm 100. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, let's be clear about this. What is this singing? And I know some people, I shared an illustration a couple weeks ago about this group down in Florida that does all this heavy metal stuff using the names of Jesus in it, and that's supposedly praising God. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because it's taking the focus off of Jesus, and it's putting it onto the hard rock music. This singing in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, is a shouting. I'll just tell you, that's what it means. It's a shouting, a triumphing that comes from the word for creaking, C-R-E-A-K-I-N-G. You know, the board on your steps, you know, and you hit the third one up and it goes creak, you know. This is where that word sing comes from. Let it out. Let it out. You step on that step and let it out, okay? And literally part of the definition is to emit a stridulous sound. A stridulous sound. We come before his presence, that is, the part of his face that turns. Now, that's by definition. When it talks about the face of God, it literally refers to the part of his face that turns. What does that mean? Well, I think what it means is it's part of his face that turns and has every intention of facing us directly. So if you're over here and he's looking over there at somebody else, he can turn his neck. You see? And there's that creaking, in a sense, because he's stretching over to look at you. Okay? And so that's the part of his face that turns and has every intention of facing each one of us directly. Now, why? So we can know, look at verses 3 and 4, we can know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now, as I share all that and I make it clear they come from the Psalms, and you know that the Psalms used to be sung, okay, can you hear the music to these words? There are songs that we sing, you know, like we sang some just earlier this morning about enter his gates, thanksgiving. It's got a tune. Now, it's not necessarily the one they used back in the days of, you know, this being in the early days of Israel and so forth, but it's set to music. It's set to music. Praise God. Donald Stamps, now he's the editor of the Full Life Study Bible, he said, individual and congregational singing must be unto the Lord, with joy and out of conscious awareness of his presence. And we know he's present because he's turned his face towards us. He turned his face towards us at Christmas. He turned his face towards us at Easter. He turns his face towards us at Pentecost. He turns his face towards us every day. Amen? Every day. Conscious awareness of his presence. In song, we remember that he created us and redeemed us, that we are now his people, and he is our shepherd. Now, this is Donald Stamps saying this. He is our shepherd. We sing of his love, faithfulness, and truth that will endure forever. Now, I'm sure you've noticed there are times when life seems to be filled with nothing but storms, hardships, difficulties, tragedies. But we've got a cosmic meteorologist that we can turn to. Amen? And he knows where they're coming from. He knows where they're going. And he's not just like the weathermen of today. Well, this model says that, and that model says this, and who knows what's really going to happen? You know? No. God knows. God knows. Nell Mooney gives us the following illustration. She wrote in the devotional book one time, she said, it was only a small note of appreciation for someone I had done a part of my job for, and it had almost miraculous effects. It warmed my heart for days and motivated me to do even a better job in presenting a seminar. Immediately, I remembered the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. All were healed, if you'll remember, but only one returned to thank Jesus. I'm convinced that Jesus' feelings and even his asking the question of this guy that did return, wondering, you know, we're not all healed. Why is it just you that's come back to say thanks? Okay? I don't think he did that because his feelings were hurt. I don't think Jesus did that and brought the whole thing into focus because he's trying to teach them some manners. I don't think that's what it is at all. No, Jesus knew that the person who expresses gratitude is more blessed than the one who receives the thanks. I'm not saying there's a blessing going each way, but praise God, it's a person who expresses the gratitude who is hit more fully by what's happened. Gratitude opens our hearts to life, opens our hearts to God, and opens our hearts to others. But before I get too far off track, this Nell Mooney that I was sharing, what she wrote, she went on to say this. Following the death of our 20-year-old son, I had a very hard time. It was like a dark cloud hanging over me. One day in my quiet time, my devotional time, the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 just jumped off the page at me. Just jumped out. As if I were reading them for the very first time. In everything, give thanks. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. In everything, give thanks. It doesn't have to be the good stuff. It doesn't have to be the easy stuff. It doesn't have to be the fun stuff. Amen? It can be some of the most tragic things that could ever happen to you. You still give thanks. Amen? Because he's in control. And that means he let that thing happen for a purpose, and you better learn from it. Amen? You better get a handle on it instead of just griping and complaining the whole way through. I realize, she went on to say, that the author, being Paul, of course, was not saying, give thanks that you lost your son. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean give thanks that your son died. Okay? But in the midst of the pain and the loneliness and all of that, give thanks anyway. For in this, God is working. See, when you start seeing that he's in control, that means he's got something planned for you. Amen? He's got something in mind. He's got a direction that he wants you to go. And that can't be a bad thing. That has got to be a good thing. Do you hear that? Amen? Praise the Lord. That act of thanksgiving, she says, so revolutionized my life that even to this day, I condition my mind with gratitude before I get up out of bed each morning. And we better. Because you just watch. The very first thing that's going to happen once you're out of bed, something's going to hit. Something is going to hit. It happens all the time. You know that. Something's going to hit. So you better wake up with having it in mind, that attitude of gratitude, so to speak, and then you'll be able to handle whatever comes. And you know that I know something about this. Cindy and I, we were married for 47 years. We knew each other for 3 years before that, at which time we dated, we were engaged, and finally, when I was finished with college, we got married. That's 50 years. 47 plus 3. Do the math. Right, Ben? 47 plus 3 is what? 50. That's 50 years. That's half a century. Amen? That's half a century. But our God is still astonishing, whether we like everything that happens to us or not. He's got a purpose in that. And one thing is, he healed her. She always said that. People used to look at her and say, well, how come you're not healed then? Why do you still have these problems? If you love Jesus so much, why did Paul still have the thorn in his flesh since he loved Jesus so much? It's because he has given people some things to deal with so that not only can God see which direction she'll go with it, and of course he already knows that, but he wants you to know that. And he wants others to know it as well. Praise God. Our God is astonishing. Amen? Astonishing. Perhaps the best way that I could illustrate this, and especially at this time, is with some of the events that are coming up in the next several weeks. And by that I mean Christmas. God wanted to have a very astonishing way to pinpoint what was about to happen. Now, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to go quickly through this. This is about the fastest I'm ever going to cover Christmas. All right, in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 19, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. You can almost hear it in his voice, even though you don't hear his voice. You can almost hear it, right? I am Gabriel. I'm not fussing around here. I'm not playing games. I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, unto you, and to show thee these glad tidings. Amen? And then it was Mary's turn, right? In verse 28, the angel, this is all from Luke 2, the angel came, Luke 1 and 2 rather, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin and Zechariah's wife, was also part of this astonishing picture. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation, Mary's salutation, sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. She was expecting John the Baptist. Okay? And blessed is she who believed. Now, who believed? Well, for one thing, she believed, but also Mary believed. Amen? Blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a performance, there shall be an accomplishing, there shall be an acting out, praise God, of those things which were told her from the Lord. And I'm sure you could put music to every one of these references. You know what I'm saying? There's probably a song someplace that has these words. You know, they've turned it into song. And more so than any place else, probably. Look at verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. This is sometimes called Mary's song. Mary's song. In the Latin, it's Magnificat. And don't forget the astonishing climax. Are you ready? In fact, so astonishing that it actually hits us in two parts, in two places. Okay? Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there is no room for them. There was no room for them in the inn. And then ultimately, the second direction comes from this direction. And the angel said unto them, talking about the shepherds out in the field, the angel said unto them, Fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And a couple verses down the pike, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Billy Graham once shared this particular illustration. During World War II, many a mother would take her son and try to keep the memory of the father who was away at war, not necessarily having died in the war, but away at the war, in the memory of that boy, trying to keep his memory alive in this youngster that's growing up without his dad. One mother I heard about took her son every day into the bedroom and showed him a large portrait of the father who was away. One day, the little boy said to his mother, Mom, wouldn't it be great if Dad could just step out of the frame? Wouldn't it be great if he could just step out of that frame? Well, actually, that is what happened that first Christmas, Dr. Graham went on to say. Astonishing. For centuries, man has looked into the heavens, longing for God to step out of the frame. And at Bethlehem, that's exactly what he did. Incredible and astonishing as it may appear to modern man, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was a visitor from heaven itself. It is astonishing, but we need to take our astonishment further than just being surprised. It can start there. And lots of places in the scripture, it says that people were astonished at what he said and astonished at what he did. But they had to go further than that. They had to go to a complete submission. Praise God. And so the question for us then is, are you thankful? Are you thankful for that God who shows himself astonishing? Amen? And then go from there. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Father, we want to thank you, dear God, for this truth here today. Help us, Lord, to always, 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 dear God, keep our eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we will indeed see that Father stepping from the heavens as he sends forth Jesus to be born in a manger and die on a cross. We thank you, Lord. Give you all the glory. We love you this day. And we desire, dear God, to love you more and more each and every day as we go along. Not only to Thanksgiving and then just to cut it off and not even think about things anymore. No, to go all the way into Christmas. All the way. So we thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and holy name.